From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection for this hour was made in 1984 when the film Ghostbusters hit theaters and became a near-instant iconic success. And somehow, didn't win any Oscars, but it remains one of the most quoted films ever and has long been recognized as the kind of film that no one would ever scar with a sequel or a reboot, obviously. I kid, of course. There was a sequel. It had its moments. It was fine, I guess. It was, after all, it was a sequel. And now we have a reboot, which has generated its own debate for many reasons. Some of those reasons are perfectly understandable. Is the film any good? Is it funny? Other reasons are not. Should Ghostbusters really have female leads? Well, this hour, we invited a panel to discuss the range of issues that have surrounded this film. And I want to get to that right now. Let me welcome our guests. In studio, we have Beth Winslow, actor and comedian. You might know her from Lady Parts Theater and the comedy group Thank You Kiss. Beth, it's great to have you. How are you?
So much. I'm wonderful, thanks. How are you?
Very good.
Thanks for having me.
Eric Stevens is here. He's a pulp, You're a pulp culture writer. You know what pulp culture is? It's like pop culture, just for pulp fiction.
I haven't started writing about that yet.
Pop culture writer. He's a Lego designer, and he wrote what I thought was a very interesting piece about being a big Ghostbusters fan and your thoughts on the film. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And on the line with us is Char Broom. She's a comedian, performs under the name Char B. Char, nice to have you. How are you?
Thank you. Good. Thank you.
All right. Well, let's just start with the reaction of our panel when they just found out the film was coming out, because there's been so much build up to this film, going all the way back to the trailers and the ridiculous number of dislikes or unlikes on YouTube, which, and the misogynistic comments. I mean, Char, when you found out that this film was coming out with four women leads, what did you think?
I thought it was awesome. There were, you know, there's two. I love Melissa McCarthy. I think she's hilarious. Leslie Jones, I'm just, you know, finding out about her, more about who she is as a person. I've seen her on Saturday Night Live. There's a couple of other movies that she's been in. So I think she's funny. So, yeah, I'm not really familiar with, well, I do know Ghostbusters. I was like, I'm not going to try to date myself, but the original Ghostbusters, when they came out in the early 80s, I really wasn't a fan of them, you know, so it's pretty cool, I guess.
You were not a fan of Ghostbusters? Is that what you said?
Well, I mean, the soundtrack I was, but I was, you know, being that age, I think I was maybe 12 at the time when they came out, like, 84. You know, there was this whole Ghostbuster hype that I really wasn't following. You know, I did like the song. Ray Parker Jr., I think Bobby Brown did some, you know, some music scores.
He did.
You know,
Bobby Brown did one for the second film. Yep.
Yeah. So.
All right. So. All right. So that's Char's take on what she thought when it came out. Beth, you know, I'm curious to know if you were number one a Ghostbusters fan to begin with, and number two, what you thought when you heard about the reboot.
Yes, I am a Ghostbusters fan. I loved the original movie. I was really obsessed with Saturday Night Live. As a kid, my parents would tape it for my brother and I, and we'd get up on Sunday and watch it. And so that whole, you know, all of those guys I was obsessed with, and that was kind of my introduction to comedy. So I loved it. But I was thrilled to hear when they announced the reboot, because it's representation matters. Representation in film is important. And, you know, I saw the film as a kid and I loved it, but that wasn't me up there, you know? And so I thought when it came out as four women cast, I was really excited because I also think there's an important distinction between reboot and remake. It's not a remake at all. It's a different take on the original, and it stands on its own. And I don't think they were even trying to be anything like the original. I mean, everyone knows that the original is in a pretty incredible movie, and they acknowledge that they weren't, you know, aiming to beat it. They just wanted to make something different and fun, and I think they
and
succeeded.
New.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and new.
A fresh take on it.
All right, Eric, as someone who loved the first film, there are a number of people out there who apparently thought you can't do this, you know, and I know you're not one of them. What do you think of that mentality of the people who thought, as a fan, you can't do that?
I am proud to call myself a nerd almost all the time until I have to start calling these sort of people nerds also. There's this idea that you can't do something that, I mean, anyone, that you can't do it unless whatever group of fans thinks you're allowed to do it, and that's not true. This is not, I mean, I am a Ghostbusters fan. I was following this movie back when it was going to be Ghostbusters 3 with the original guys. And there's no reason for them not to have done it this way. Especially in... they were never going to get the original guys back for a Ghostbusters 3. So let's do something new, something interesting with... I think it is a great cast, these four women. And... no, there's just no reason not to do it.
See, I'm going to put my Jack Garner head on for a second. You know, maybe this worked out much better because Eric's right. For years, they did want to try to get the cast back together for a Ghostbusters 3. We saw what happened in Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull when they took aliens and put them into Indiana Jones, and they put Shia LaBeouf, who probably should not be allowed, you know, out of the house to act. So we saw what happened there. And I've heard there's going to be another Indiana Jones film with Harrison Ford. I hope they learned from the last one. But the bottom line is maybe the reboot, the restart was the right idea here. And I just want to ask our guests in studio first what you thought. I mean, Beth, you saw it yesterday.
Yeah, I thought it was great. It was a lot of fun. I thought it was very funny. I had a lot of moments of laughing out loud. Will it be nominated for an Oscar? Probably not for Best Picture. But it was really entertaining. I really enjoyed it. I would see it again. I think it succeeded in being a really super fun, just funny remake.
Can I ask you if you were nervous that it wouldn't be good, only to give ammunition to the people who are kind of the haters out there?
I never thought that it wouldn't be good because of the names attached to it.
Yeah.
I mean, Leslie Jones is one of the funniest humans around, and... when she, you know, Kate McKinnon, I just want to follow her around all day and live inside her brain. Melissa McCarthy, you know, she's been blowing up the last few years. Kristen Wiig, same thing. And they got their start in, you know, the big improv theaters and stand-up theaters around the country. And they went on SNL and, you know, exploded from there. So I wasn't worried about it. Plus Paul Feig and, I mean, Bridesmaids was a pretty big hit. So I thought it was in good hands.
Okay. What did you think?
I saw it Saturday night. I thought it was great. It's unfair to ever try to compare it to the original because this is not 1984, which has been the theme of basically everything I've told anyone about this movie. And then I saw it again on Sunday. It is really good. It is original. It's not... I mean, it's the same concept as this movie from 32 years ago that worked really well, but they're pulling in a lot of new stuff. There are a lot of references to that one because they would not be able to get away without those references. But I think they do it in a natural, organic way that doesn't take you out of the movie the way... I mean, I'm a big Star Wars fan, and I thought there were parts in The Force Awakens that took me out of the movie by shoving, we're going to reference the original movie now.
Sure. I my understanding is you haven't had a chance to see it yet. You planning to see it?
Actually, I am. But I'll have to go back to 84 and watch that, you know, to appreciate. I did like Bill Murray. You know, I was a big Bill Murray fan. He was in the original, right?
Is that? Yes.
Yeah. So I do know that. It's interesting to go back. So I will, you know, I plan to go back to watch the originals just because. You know, to be brought up to speed. And then I would like to see this because, especially now with all the hype, you know, around it. So, yeah, so that's my intention.
All right, let me grab our first phone call. And listeners, if you want to win, if you've seen the film, you know, we're going to talk about the film, but it's not just a movie review. I mean, there's a lot attached here. Unfortunately, it's 2016 and there's still debates about... I mean, they're not really a debate. We know there's not a debate. Of course, women... should be leading films, and it shouldn't even be a thing. But that's part of the discussion, is how is this a thing still? But if you want to call and let us know what you thought of the film or these related issues, you can do that. It's toll-free, 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255, or 263-WXXI. If you're in Rochester, 263-9994. Benjamin in Rochester is first. Go ahead, Benjamin.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
So I know that I've heard this said a few times so far in the show, but I really did enjoy the movie. I was somebody who I was following the online stuff about, you know, oh, you can't do this movie with women, and this is going to be bad, and this is going to crap all over the original. It was actually, I went into it expecting to not really like it, but I really, really enjoyed the movie. It definitely did stand on its own. I mean, again, this has been said, but I really want to encourage, if there's somebody out there who is following that online stuff and not really sure, like, oh, go see this movie. It's really going to surprise you. It's surprisingly original. It makes references back to the original movie, but it doesn't feel like there's so many like cheap Hollywood knockoffs these days, like, oh, Hollywood's not original anymore. It's actually still felt like an original movie, really good cast. I would gladly go see a sequel of this movie. It was very enjoyable.
All right, Benjamin. Well, thanks for the review there. I think you're getting a lot of nods from our guests in the studio. Yeah.
I was very glad then to see on Sunday or Monday, whenever it was, that they are planning on doing sequels.
Well, I think they, my understanding is they give you a good hint at that toward the end, but I don't want to spoiler alert too much.
But you have to watch through all, did you watch through the
credits? Yeah, if you're going
credits,
to go see it tonight, which I recommend, you need to stay till the end of the credits.
Yes, like through the entire credits and then after the credits.
Like stay really late, and if another movie starts, you can leave, but stay.
Unless someone asks you to leave.
That's how late, literally when they start sweeping the floors and say, what are you doing? Still doing it.
Ghostbusters for life.
All right, but here's a couple of things here. On Twitter, Misty says, I felt like a lot of critics told people they should like the movie before it came out because it had female stars. Misty, can you point to one critic? You say a lot. I'm not going to ask you for evidence of a lot of critics who said that. Can you point to one who said we have to like it, we should like it because it's women starring? I don't remember any. I remember people celebrating the fact that, you know, we didn't feel like Ghostbusters couldn't have female stars, but you have to like it because it's women. Misty also says some hated the trailers because they were rather poor. Just because four women are in it doesn't automatically mean it'll be good. Beth, what do you think of that?
Well, sure. I mean,
of course, right?
That's
just because there's four
logical.
Humans in it, right?
Right, right. Yeah. There are people talking on a screen. It must be good. But, you know, I mean, it's not right. We agree on that. But I think there was a big push for people to say, don't not like it because of women. Like, don't go in there with an open mind. Don't just assume that because those people, you know, I think a lot of people got mad because it wasn't for them. You know, no offense, not to say anything, but a bunch of white dudes sitting behind their computer screens were up in arms because this movie wasn't made for them. They no longer got to look up on a screen and see, you know, four dudes.
And that's the wrong opinion to have anyway. I mean, unless radio technology is advanced, you can't see that I am a white man sitting here. Mm-hmm. But this was a movie for me because I am a guy who likes comedies and I liked Ghostbusters and I like going to see good movies. So I admit I've also been in the position where almost everything has been white men that I've watched in my life.
Yeah, yeah.
But I have no issue with going to watch something that is not also white men.
But 2 points on that, Eric. I think you're making a comment in the best spirit of inclusion and support. But I think what Beth is saying, and what Char will probably also tell you, is that when you go throughout life and you don't see yourself represented as often or nearly as often, there is an impact. So I'm not saying you're diminishing that.
I have been, you know, this historic majority and have not seen it.
Super majority, man.
Right.
I mean, like, what's easier than being a white guy? But Beth, you know, your point about not seeing yourself on screen, and I'm asking you and Char to explain a little bit more about how you feel about that.
Well, you know, as I mentioned before, representation matters. And there was an example this week that showed Gillian Anderson, you know, from X-Files and many others. She posted a picture of Kate McKinnon dressed as Scully when she was a kid for Halloween. And someone wrote, you know, this is why representation matters. We want to go to the movies. Little kids, little girls want to go to the movies and see someone who looks like them. And it's, you know, when the vast majority of movies, you know, the female roles are, you know, a romantic comedy or someone, you know, can't survive without a guy sweeping in and saving them, or their whole movie revolves around, you know, falling in love and falling out of love. And, you know, it's hard after a while. I want to see someone strap on a proton pack and kill some ghosts.
Yeah.
Darn it.
Char, how do you feel about that?
Just to piggyback off of what's already been said, even with Leslie Jones, someone of her, you know, where she is now, you know, she's been doing stand-up for, what, 25 years, finally making some noise. And to yet, you know, so you have four scientists, right? Actually three, because now she has to play an MTA worker, right? She played that in the movie. And that's fine, too. But, you know, I look at stuff like that. Why can't she be a scientist? Because she's, you know, an African-American woman. I know plenty of scientists. You know, I know doctors. I know people who have their own private practice. You know, so for me, it's kind of, maybe a triple whammy, being a female stand-up comic. You know, we're dealing with, you know, because it's a male-driven profession, right? So we're always trying to prove ourselves. She's funny, you know, she's okay, but you know, for me, I probably shouldn't be doing comedy. You know, it shows your kind of a side of your wild side of you. You know, women are supposed to be, you know, you have to be a certain, act a certain way. You have to act a certain way. You shouldn't speak, you know, your mind, you know, you really have to, I have to teeter a fine line. Mm-hmm. So, for me, you know, with Leslie, the attacks, you know, she's she comes across because she's a very tall woman. You know, she's fairly, she has a dark complexion, right? So she's dealing with that, you know, and the fact that, you know, you had some people, again, you know, you have this male dominant industry, force, world, whatever, and you're still just looking for acceptance, you know. You're trying to find your way and, you know, just always trying hard for people to accept you. You know, it gets exhausting, you know. I haven't had to deal with that maybe on a covert level and not, you know. So for me, you know, I'm a pretty big girl, but I know those things are helpful, you know. So I don't know if I answer.
No, I mean, I think, Shari, you're not the first person to point out the fact that Leslie Jones is one of four female leads. The three white women are the scientists, and she...
Well, the same thing went with Ernie Hudson in the original.
I know, and I'm saying why.
They totally changed his storyline. When he was originally written into the movie, he was like a high, like he had some high office in the military, and he came in with all this military background, and was like, and then they rewrote it.
Oh,
and
I didn't
completely
know that.
Changed his character. They gave him the script like the night before or something, or right before shooting started, and he was devastated by it. So there were a lot of arguments when this came up. It was interesting. Leslie Jones did comment on that and just said, why can't a regular person be a Ghostbuster? That was her kind of take on it. But I certainly see that, you know, going into it, you're like, really, we're going to perpetuate another, like, just stereotype after stereotype after stereotype.
You liked the film. Would you have liked to see it differently based on this issue?
Well, I mean, that's a loaded question, but they did a nice job of status because her character knows everything about the city historically and all the buildings and like all of the like background of New York City. So she was educating them on a lot of stuff. So when it came to status, I thought that was, that was nice to see. I do wish that, you know, I mean, I feel like I'm saying stuff against MTA workers. Like, I think MTA right. workers are incredible and, you know,
right.
they deal with crap every day. But I do think that that was a misstep.
Okay.
I think she could have easily played Melissa McCarthy's role.
Okay.
Those two could have been switched.
And real quick here, because we're trying to get a lot of feedback here, and I see the phone's ringing. We're going to be getting to your comments as well. On Twitter, Dave is asking, the original was a good showing of scientists working out a problem. Is the same true in this version, Eric?
Yeah. With this one, I don't want to give anything away, and I'll apologize in advance if I do. But this is, as Abby and Aaron, who are Kristen Wiig and Melissa McCarthy's characters, were high school friends who studied ghosts. And as, you know, this is now years later, because they're however old these characters are supposed to be, they're actually going out and catching them. Before this, they'd never been able to prove it, which is very similar to the three scientists from the first movie.
1984 film, yep.
But over a longer period of time. Their origins aren't that different. The way the team builds up isn't that different. But that, yeah.
Okay. Well said without giving too much away there. And I also hear Holtzman is legendary in this
film. Oh, my
film.
Gosh, I can't
Kate
even.
Kate McKinnon.
It's an incredible character, and it's a great performance.
And interestingly, she said that it wasn't very far from her own personality,
yeah.
Which I think is incredible.
Yeah, that is amazing.
And that was a big point. This is not a remake of this. This is mm-hmm. a starting over with
right.
this concept. None of these characters are clones of the original
right.
four Ghostbusters. I mean, the closest is Leslie Jones Patty to Winston from the original team, simply because they aren't scientists. But the others, they have, you know, very different personal origins and very, very different personalities. Kate McKinnon's Holtzman is very different than Harold Ramis's Spengler, even though they are more of the technical scientists parts of their team.
Okay. Back to the phones we go, and this is Alex in Rochester. Go ahead, Alex.
Yes, Evan. I noticed earlier you kind of backtracked a little bit after you used the term debate about you're talking about how people are discussing these things. And what I find interesting about that, that's kind of the way that Sore Losers use to keep something going, whether it's about race or sexism or whatever. You know, those who are on the wrong side are the ones that are saying, well, there's still a debate about it. You
know? Like climate change.
Well, yeah, climate change. I mean, there's a dozen different things. If you're pretty much on the wrong side of it, you say, well, there's still a debate about it. So, and it was funny how you kind of backtracked from that. I know you probably said it and realized you were sounding like you were probably supporting some of the people like that. But I just find it interesting that's become so pervasive that no matter what the subject is, some people say there's still a debate about it, and then people still think maybe there is still a debate about it.
Yeah, no, I actually, Alex, let me just jump in and say I take the point, and I think it's a good one. We, Megan Mack and I, debated among ourselves about whether to do a show on Ghostbusters at all, because do you fuel misogyny by even talking about the fact that people thought there was a debate about whether there should be women leading Ghostbusters, which is an absurd premise to begin with? But then you start seeing a number of things here. I mean, no trailer in the history of YouTube has this many dislikes, and I think a lot of that's misogyny.
Oh, 100%. When people are creating accounts just to dislike it.
Okay,
yeah.
And now Leslie Jones is off Twitter,
yep.
And there's this Twitter controversy because Twitter removed a male character. I guess it's a guy, right? I don't really know much about him.
Oh, but he's one of the
he's a
loudest
editor for Breitbart.
He's a blogger. I think mm-hmm. his name is Milo or
Milo,
something.
Yep.
Yeah.
He goes by Nero, N-E-R-O online, and he had said some nasty things about Leslie Jones's performance, and a lot of his followers, hundreds of thousands of followers, a lot of those followers started saying, I mean, I can't even repeat. I started reading what they said to Leslie Jones on Twitter.
Disgusting.
They were posting pictures of animals, superimposing animal pictures with the cast saying, this is you. Again, I mean, it's just all the disgusting things you didn't think are real. And you say, yeah, a movie with four white male leads, doesn't happen. This is still happening in 2016. So, Alex, I definitely take your point. I'm not trying to spur the idea that there's a debate. Should this happen? I'm simply saying I'm amazed that we can't just watch this film and say, was it good? Was it not good? I enjoyed it. I didn't, you know, as opposed to some of the junk that we're seeing that's surrounding it. And speaking of, by the way, let's listen to a comment that Leslie Jones made in some of the build-up press interviews that they did for this film. And I hope I haven't been guilty of this, but Leslie Jones is making a point in how we talk about women in entertainment.
I hate being
just
called a female comedian.
Call me.
It's so obvious. Do you say male comedian? No, you don't. You say comedian. Yeah. So you know I'm a female. So just say I'm a comedian. I just hate that label. You already know I'm a female. You know, I hate getting even introduced like that. It's like, y'all ready for a female? Oh, were you ready for a unicorn? Like, it's like, you know, I'm not a different species. Like, yeah. It's man and woman. You have seen me before.
Right.
Like, you know, stop trying to act like you don't identify with me. I'm your mother.
Right.
I'm your sister. Yeah. I'm your cousin. You have seen me, so it's like annoying.
Okay, so we got two on the panel. Char, what did you think of that?
Absolutely true. It's absolutely true. And again, we're as female comedians, you're always trying to. You get that, you know. You get on stage, and you know, oh, you're funny for a female, you know, or we're gonna have an all female comedy show, you know, like, wow, I just want to do comedy, tell jokes, you know. I didn't know there was. You know, gender-specific jokes. Well, there are, but, you know, for the most part, we talk about, women talk about stuff that guys talk about, you know? So I totally get it, and I agree with her.
Beth, what do you think?
Oh, completely, 100%. I've done comedy for a long time, and I studied in Chicago, and in Chicago there are, you know, three, for improvisers, there are, like, three guys to every woman who is improvising. And so you hear all the time, oh, she's a great female improviser, or she's a great female comedian. And it's really ridiculous. And as what Char said, to, you know, piggyback on that earlier, women who are in comedy have to prove themselves to a level that men don't ever have to. I mean, it's yeah, I don't know. I could go on a rant, but I don't want to take over the show.
Listeners, if you want to weigh in on this, 844-295-TALK. Toll free, 844-295-8255 or 263-WXXI, 263-9994. Keith is next up. Don't make me regret taking this call, Keith. What do you think?
Evan, I haven't seen the movie, but could you clarify, is it a remake or a sequel to the original?
Absolutely. If you missed it earlier, it is a reboot, which means it is starting over. This is not a sequel. And in fact, my understanding, I haven't seen it either, Keith. I was going to try to see it yesterday, and my son and I got lost hiking at Mendon Ponds Park at his request, and it just got back very, very late.
He just walked in from Mendon Ponds Park.
I just flew in. Boy, my arm's tired. I'm a comedian. But Keith, it is a reboot, and my understanding is a number of people in the original cast in 1984 appear in this film, but not as their original characters. Is that right, Eric?
That's right. The only original cast member of the four Ghostbusters and the three kind of supporting characters that does not appear is... Oh, wow. There's one that I caught on my second viewing. Rick Moranis does not appear because he's essentially retired.
Okay.
There's a bust.
There is at the beginning. There is a nice tribute to Harold Ramis, who died a few years ago.
Yeah. He's incredible. Yeah.
But otherwise, everyone else appeared
in
their own bodies, but as
Bill Murray
characters.
Is not Peter Venkman.
Right. They all play different people. It's the film's more of a tribute to it than, I mean, it
or their inclusion is
a tribute. Yeah. They're, right. And they make little jokes. You have to be a real Ghostbusters fan to see some of them, but. They're like in one scene, Kate McKinnon's character is holding Pringles, and that was kind of a tongue-in-cheek reference to the original Ghostbusters because it was filled with product placement.
Right. There were actually a lot of things. I saw it Saturday and I saw it again Sunday. There were a lot of things I did not catch until I watched Ghostbusters again Sunday, the original, on Sunday night. And then last night I watched Ghostbusters 2 and caught a few more things that I'd forgotten about.
All right, well, then Keith wants to follow up with a separate question then. Go ahead, Keith.
Sorry about that. I don't know if it was Mario, but I assume it's a remake. Sometimes what I've noticed when they do remake a movie, it's only because the technology is so much better that the special effects are improved. But I noticed, I saw a trailer for the movie, The Magnificent Seven, which they're redoing with an ethnically diverse cast, where the original one was a bunch of seven white guys and Horst Buckles, who was German. I don't know why he was there. But it was a really good movie, but I think you're going to get the same thing when The Magnificent Seven come out in September. You're going to have people either pan it or love it because it's not like the original was.
Well, yeah, I'm not familiar with that. Resident nerd?
I'm
self-described.
Not really familiar with it. I can't say. There will be some backlash anytime you change any character, of course. There will be some because they've changed the race of these characters in Magnificent Seven. But I think this movie drew a lot more because they replaced, or at least in the detractor's mind, they replaced four men with four women.
You know, this is sort of an extension of the conversation we had about theater last week, but about representation in theater and the way that Hollywood for years and theater puts white people in non-white roles and never apologizes. You know, I mean, it happens all the time. We mentioned Mr. Yuniyoshi, one of the most famous ones from Breakfast at Tiffany's. But there are so many examples. And yet the first time somebody says Idris Elba might be James Bond, everybody freaks out.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, we just have this weird thing.
That's not even casual racism. That's blatant racism.
Well, of course.
And James Bond, Sean Connery played a Japanese man in a movie.
Well, they just cast
Marlon Brando.
They just cast Scarlett Johansson as the lead in a very famous Japanese anime series as the lead woman who is Japanese in the series. So,
okay, well,
and this is live action. That's not, if I'm thinking of the same thing, that's not just a voice role she's doing.
And one of the reasons we had that discussion is to make sure that we are understanding all of the talent in our own community, because it's easy for me to do a poor job of representing that in this show, and I'm sure we can do better. But part of the reason we're having this discussion on Ghostbusters is it's fun. Ghostbusters is a fun movie. You may like it, you may not, but it's fun. Sometimes it's fun to talk about what's hot in theaters. But also, you know, I mean, Beth, I think sometimes we take for granted what women have to go through when you are trying to succeed in entertainment. I mean, I'm not in your shoes. I'm not going to ever be able to understand that. But do you think it's fair to say we take it for granted?
Well, sure. But I think, you know, a lot of, just like it's easy for me to talk about, you know, my lens as a white woman, but I don't know what it's like as a woman of color. So I think it's important to have these conversations because, you know, you said earlier you kind of were debating on whether or not to have it. I think it's so important to have that conversation because that's how change happens. We're not supposed to be comfortable with this. It's an uncomfortable discussion because, you know, that's how we have to do something to change and move forward. So.
And let me let Char weigh in as well. Go ahead, Char. What do you think?
I agree wholeheartedly. We have to lean into this ugly thing that, you know, everyone is so uncomfortable with because, I mean, that's the reality. I mean, really, what is it? The fact that we're uncomfortable. You did have four characters, but you have one that's under attack. Why is that, you know? And it got really ugly. So guess what? There's room for everyone, you know? We're not going to take over. She's not taking over. I mean, there's enough pie for everyone. And I think that we should really just get back to people and their content, what they can bring. And, you know, we have to stop this foolishness. But the thing about it, when we have people who are spewing these, you know, their own agendas, you have this rhetoric that's going on, we're up in arms. Like, there's a lot that's going on. And people are fearful. They don't know what's going to happen. You have politicians that spew whatever they want to spew, and you know, we're just at a bad state. But we really need to just get to a place that we can heal and move on, you know. And again, I don't want to have to worry about when I go somewhere, people looking at me, they like me because I'm funny, or because you have to tolerate me. I don't, you know. So, I have a different spin because, you know, again, I'm a female, I'm African American. And I am trying to do this thing called comedy. So it's a lot.
Well, let's get our only break of the hour. You're hearing from Char Broom, who's a comedian. She performs under the name Char B. Eric Stevens is here. He's a pop culture writer, Lego designer, proud self-proclaimed nerd, and someone who appreciated both the original Ghostbusters and the reincarnation. And Beth Winslow is an actor and comedian, and you might know her from the comedy group Thank You Kiss, among other things. When we come back, a couple of points here. We've seen a number of writers praise the new Ghostbusters for having not only women in the lead, but women in the lead who are not just vehicles for romantic devices, etc. We're going to talk a little bit about that. And also, I want to talk a little bit about what happened with Richard Roper, who is the critic for the Chicago Sun-Times. And I think there's something instructive there, too. So we'll talk about what happened with him and his review of the new Ghostbusters next on Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Thursday on the next Connections, why are we so divided? The folks at Ganondagan wonder if it's because we never sit down with people who are different from us. They have an upcoming event that will bring together someone from the Islamic community, the Native American community, the transgender community, and more. And we'll talk about that. Then second hour, our Summer of Food series continues with a discussion on a chef in a food kitchen. Talk to you then. Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. You might know the name Richard Roper, who is a film critic for the Chicago Sun-Times. He, you probably knew Siskel and Ebert, and Gene Siskel passed away, and Richard Roper worked with Ebert. Of course, Ebert has since passed away, but Richard Roper still reviews films for the Chicago Sun-Times, and he did not like Ghostbusters at all. He wrote, "Ghostbusters reboot is a horrifying mess." He says it's one of the worst movies of the year, for multiple other reasons. He says other reasons because he starts his review by basically saying, there's a lot of hate, there's a lot of misogyny out there. This review is not about that. He said, I just did not like the movie. And he writes, quote, There was bad acting, uninspired directing, editing, cinematography, and music, cheesy special effects, a forgettable villain, and a terrible script, end quote. He went on to say that he loves Kate McKinnon on SNL, but he thinks she overacted and stole every scene she was in, even when she shouldn't, and he just did not like the film on those grounds. Now, he received a deluge of angry mail, and he says a lot of it came from men who consider themselves feminists, and here's an example of some of the comments he got, which the Chicago Sun-Times has since published. One of them says, Richard, you are unfairly harsh toward Ghostbusters. Do you even care about equality? Clearly you don't. Write another review. Another says, do us all a favor and die, Richard. You don't know the first thing about how to review a film. And another says, Richard, your Ghostbusters review was in poor taste. It was mean-spirited and worthy of a lowly film blog. You can dislike a film, but come on. So those are just examples, some of them even nastier. So he came back and wrote a piece saying, listen, if you think I'm in the misogynist crowd, I'm not. I just didn't like the movie. And my view of that, I'll start with Beth on this. My view of that was, that's also wrong. I mean, you can't attack a critic if they don't like the film, if they're legitimately not liking the film. You can disagree with them, but I don't think you get to tar someone as a misogynist just because they don't like a film. In fact, I think that is the antithesis of really embracing equality, because there shouldn't be bonus points for films just because there's women in the lead. I mean, he's saying I'm reviewing the film, right?
I agree. And I mean, some of those comments were horrifying, like wishing death upon someone. It's ridiculous. But I do also want to point out that systematically, women films with women or focusing on women or starring women are often rated lower than those starring men. That has been historically just a fact.
Yep, and he acknowledges that in his follow-up, but then said he went back and looked up his own reviews, essentially looking at female leads, et cetera, and the bulk in recent years of his reviews with films that have primarily female leads have gotten better reviews than those with men. So
yeah.
I think he's trying to insulate himself in that way, but
I mean,
I think he has to acknowledge that your point is true as well, mm-hmm. that you know there may be a subconscious downgrading that goes on.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, if you look just at the ratings online and in the comments people say online, the comments directed towards women and people of color are really, I mean, were eviscerated online. And I don't think men see that often. And so I think they're, you know, I think a lot of people are coming, they're sensitive to it because it's happening and it's so prevalent. And this guy is a big name in film. And he happens to speak for the majority. And but I do agree that coming out of the gate and attacking him for giving a bad review of a film. But again, you'd have to look at the history of his reviews.
Yeah.
If he's giving great reviews to, you know, every Will Ferrell movie ever made, then we might have a problem.
Char, what do you think about that?
Well, everybody isn't. It's an opinion. You know, everyone is entitled to their opinion. You know, I've come up under. You know, if you don't have anything nice to say, just keep your mouth shut, you know? you don't have to. If you don't like the movie or you're hearing bad reviews, don't go see it. Like, that's pretty much all I can tell people. You know, you have people that hide behind 140 characters on Twitter or Facebook or wherever, you know? And for me, I just think that people are miserable. Like, you take that much time out of your day to attack people who are trying to make a living, trying to make the world better. I just want to have fun, right? So, you know, and like I said, people are just so miserable and they really need to check themselves, you know? And again, everybody is entitled to their opinion.
Sure.
I'm not going to like, there's certain stuff that I don't like.
Yeah, and I think, I think Char and Beth make good points here. You're entitled to your opinion. Absolutely. If you're a film critic, that's your job.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that. I think it's fair to ask what his history is. He addressed that in the follow-up article, but I think Beth's point is a wise one, that we shouldn't just, but we should be mindful of the fact that basically non-white males get downgraded. We see this in the classroom with professorships, and this is something that I don't want to open the lid up on something that we're working on yet, but this is, you're going to see coverage in the coming weeks on this. This happens at a lot of different levels, and it's easy for white males not to get that, but it does happen. There is research that backs it up. So I think it's, I feel bad for him getting the comments he's getting. So I just wanted to add that to the discussion, that there is vitriol on a lot of sides here. But I think it's important to understand a little bit of history. All right, so a couple of other points here that some listeners have made, and frankly, some critics have, some writers I've seen, embracing this film for saying not only do you have four women in the lead roles, but they're not just romantic plot vehicles, and they're not just about sex. And let me just ask, we'll go around the panel. Beth Winslow, is that a thing? I mean, is that something that we should be celebrating, or you know, how do you feel about that?
Oh yeah, I mean, for me, it was great. I thought it was wonderful to see women represented as the ones who are saving the day without anyone's help, the ones who are kind of putting themselves in harm's way and doing the work, and they're all, you know, intelligent but a little weird, and that's the kind of stuff that I like. And the fact that, you know, none of it was really hinging on what men thought of them or what they thought of men. And I don't know about Eric, but I thought I was really into like the plot. Like as the movie went on, it kept my attention the entire time. Like I didn't really.
Right. I followed the whole movie. There was no point where I felt like a lot of times in the theaters, I get to a point I'm like, all right, this movie can be over any minute now. And I never felt like that. And I watched it twice in 2 days. And last night, watching Ghostbusters 2, the movie just kind of ended. I'm like, I don't want to say anything terribly controversial, but this is a better movie than Ghostbusters 2.
The original Ghostbusters would agree. Like, they weren't even down to make another sequel. They were like, do we have to?
Yeah, I mean, I think Cabin Boy might have been better than Ghostbusters. I don't know.
Bite your tongue, Evan.
Yeah, I like a lot of Ghostbusters 2. But
it has its
there moment. Were some missing parts to it.
Yeah,
I think any film critic, too, would be like, yeah, it's a terrible movie. Like, I think Bill Murray would say it's a terrible movie.
But, Char, you touched on this in your own comedy earlier. There are expectations that as a woman in comedy, you know, you're supposed to be either more genteel or should you really be talking about this? In the same way that some people assume that if women are in the lead of a film, well, there will be love stories or there will be sex, etc. There's still these expectations that seem to be out there. And I think that's one of the reasons that people are celebrating Ghostbusters is not conforming in that way.
Right. Exactly. Totally. Excuse me. I think girls are cool and they make all the boys drool. So, we definitely rock, and that's why we just want, you know, and, you know, we have things now. You know, I work with kids and even smaller kids when you work with them. You know, we don't want to be gender specific anymore. You know, you want to tell a kid if you see a toddler with a baby, you don't want to say, oh, put that down, that's for girls. You know, he's going to be a great dad. Let him do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, we have to get out. We have to think outside of the box. And I think girls can. I know a young lady, well, she's like 9 years old, so a young girl who's playing football. She's the quarterback of a football team. I think it's great. She's the captain, you know, and her mother is fostering that. And that's what we want to do. We want to foster talent, you know. And I think so many times that we just have to get away from this thinking. And for me, you know, when you have kids, you want to just, again, foster whatever it is that they want to do. And you don't want to say, oh, you can't do that because you're a girl. You know, you used to hear that when I used to watch the Brady Bunch, you know. So I think we're trying to get away from that. And I think that's a good thing. And I think women like Beth and myself, getting up in this male-dominant arena and telling our jokes and we don't care what you guys say. And, hey, at the end of the night, guys, they respect you. Because at the end of the day, irregardless to how tall I am, how short I am, if I'm black or white, if I weigh 200 pounds, 400 pounds, you have to respect that talent. You can't take that away. So,
Oh, I'm sorry, Char.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I think that's why people like Joan Rivers and, you know, Whoopi Goldberg and Bea Arthur were so groundbreaking for their time because they discussed topics that people didn't expect them to. They were calling people out. They were calling stereotypes. They were turning stereotypes on their head. They were talking about abortion and things like that. And you know, I think that's they were real trailblazers in that way. And they weren't talking about boys.
Do you think, Beth, do you think they were trying to be trailblazers or they just were because of what they were doing? And does it matter?
Yeah, I don't, I, I don't know that anyone goes out there with the intention to be a trailblazer. I think that they just were, and I think they accepted it. I think they accepted the role and kind of ran with it. And I watched actually Leslie Jones talk to Whoopi Goldberg on The View. I watched a clip of it online, just thanking her because she said she watched her comedy specials as a kid and said, "Finally, someone looks like me." You know,
yeah.
And that's hugely important for young girls.
Char, I heard you saying, "Yeah, you want to jump in there?"
I'm just agreeing basically with Beth. I did see that clip with Leslie, and she thanked her, you know, she thanked Whoopi, and I thought that was awesome, you know, because it's, even though they were talking about her, it's not about her right now. She, you know, she's thanking this woman who, again, laid the foundation, and I thought that was good because she's being selfless, you know, and not selfish and just, oh, it's all about me, you know. They have what the number, and I think it's what, number two in the box office, so... Mm-hmm. You know, she acknowledged that, and I think that was she's transparent at that moment. It's like, wow, you know.
Well, Char,
just like a
Char, I am with you so much on this notion of parenting and the pressure that comes on gender roles for kids, only because. I've got a son who likes trucks. He likes to hike. He likes to go outside. But he's got long hair. I mean, and he got long hair because he wants to, and it looks great. And some people meet me in public. And they say, "Oh, your daughter's beautiful." And I say, "Well, thanks. You know, he's a boy." And they go, "Oh, well, he's got beautiful hair too." I said, "His hair is luxurious. His father has male pattern baldness. Like, I mean, like go for it." You know, but there are some people who seem more surprised. Or I've got a friend whose son loves to wear pink and has had people, not in the family, not in close circles, but I don't know if it's in school environments or out in public, sort of actually verbalize that, like, well, why is he wearing pink from head to toe? As if it's a problem. Mm-hmm. It's just this weird policing that goes on that I agree with you, Char. I just want to say I think that's a good point. So if girls want to pick up proton packs, cool. If boys want to pick up proton packs, cool. I mean, like, that. To me, that's great. But I want to start to close the loop on this with a question for all of you, which is, in some ways, it feels like progress talking about it. Beth, you said earlier you have to have these conversations. Mm-hmm. It's the only way to kind of move it forward. But at the same time, we're sitting here in 2016, and you're going, like, wow. I mean, Leslie Jones gets chased off Twitter by thousands of super racist trolls mm-hmm. and, you know, unbelievable amounts of misogynistic comments about a film people have never seen. And it doesn't feel like progress. How are we going to get to the point where, you know, the Beth and the Char, 100 years from now, a generation from now, whenever it is, don't have to sit here and feel like it really is so different for the way women and women of color are viewed? I mean, Beth, I'll start with you. How do we get there?
Keep having conversations like these, keep making movies like Ghostbusters, keep putting women in roles of producer and director and writer and screenwriter, make women visible, make their voices heard, and just keep speak till your voice is raw. That's what I say. So
Char?
Absolutely, I agree with her wholeheartedly. Again, we have to make these conversations when they come up. Even when you're talking with your buddies or someone says something inappropriate that I don't like, you have to make that a teachable moment. Mm-hmm. You know, and have those conversations. You know. We don't have to agree on everything, but you have to respect people. And again, if you don't like something, then you're fine. Everyone is entitled to like what they want, dislike what they want, you know, but we have to celebrate differences and just keep, you know, just trudging forward.
All right. Well, and as you said, like what you want, it happens that everyone on our panel who saw the film liked it. And Eric, for people who missed the conversation earlier this hour, I'd like to just to ask, because I liked what you wrote about it. Where can they find what you wrote about it?
You can find it. My website is ericstevensino.com. Those are the letters, I-N-O. I've also tweeted it a bunch of times, but I'm at Eric Stevens I-N-O on Twitter, so that's probably not easier than the website.
No, it's fine. I dug what you wrote about it, and for people who haven't seen the film, if you're telling them just from a critical perspective on why they ought to go see it, what do you tell them?
That you should see it because it's a good movie. I mean, that's... I don't want to derail, but I think to answer the previous question,
yeah.
That I think part of this, so 100 years from now, women don't feel like they're in the same position, is for people like me and people like you, Evan, to also speak up as men to say that, I don't want to make it all about men, but it's...
No, to be allies. Yeah. It sounds like what you're saying is being an ally.
This is not an us against them thing. Women do not get better because men get worse. It's, we all rise up together.
Yeah, I mean, I think history shows you that progress is made with struggle, with effort, and when there are allies from places of privilege, not all the time. I'm not giving all the credit to people in privilege. What I'm saying is that can certainly help spur progress.
And I think a great example of it, actually, I know we're running out of time, but Kevin in the movie, who is the secretary, is brought in. Kristen Wiig's character likes him because he's attractive. And I've seen a lot of criticism for that online, but that is exactly how so many women characters have been treated in the past 100 years of cinema, that it's a really, I mean, it's a great example for men to recognize that they are being, or for men to be treated the same way, to recognize the struggle women have had.
You think that was intentional?
I definitely think it. I think there's a lot of things in this movie that are responses to the criticism online.
Oh, yeah. There's one section where they read, you know, a troll's comment.
Yeah, and they say, you can't read the comments online. Yeah. Yeah. And I have been, I mean, anything I've ever published has horrible comments on
me
it.
Me too.
And I have to make sure my mom doesn't read them. And
the internet's it's pretty hard. Much the worst.
Really, I would say never
pretty
read the comments.
Much. Never just the dredge of humanity.
Never read the comments. Okay, as we get set to go here, Char, 10 seconds, where can people see your work?
I perform at the Firehouse over on the South Avenue. I'm at Photo Improv. Actually, this weekend, I will be doing two shows on Saturday. I believe the time is 8 and 10. And I'm on Facebook, Char Broome, B-R-O-O-M-E. If you want to look me up, I have a Facebook page. I'm on Twitter, so I have those handles, Twitter. I'm on Instagram.
Char, I love you. We're running out of time. We'll make sure we hook it up to people who check out the podcast. Char, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Eric, thank you. Check out Thank You Kiss. That's where you find Beth and more. We love you there, too.
Thanks.
Thank you for being here. Have a great
day,
everyone.
Thanks for having us.